I am going to give you the biblical solution to all your parenting problems. Like, today is the day that all of your parenting problems are going to be solved. You probably don't believe me. Here it is, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents. Where are the kids? We need to get those kids. Why are they out there? We need to bring them back in, don't we? So if only our kids would follow the Bible, right? If only they would read Ephesians 6:1 and do what their parents told them to do, wouldn't that just make parenting really, really easy? Just at the moment, Toby's going through that season where as soon as you tell him not to do something, he explains why he should be doing it. Or he gives something else. It's like, don't touch that. So I was saying, oh, don't touch the chair. I'm just touching the post. It's like, don't touch things. I'm just breathing. Like, it'll be something that'll, it's not just, okay, yes, Dad. I would love to do what you tell me to, Dad. I'm just gonna push just that little bit more. Just how much can I press? And no one else here resonates with that, do they? You've never had that experience, any of you parents that are out there today. Oh man, if only it was that easy. As I said earlier, I don't have a world of experience. I certainly don't intend to come and speak to you as the paragon of all wisdom around parenting. Instead, I'm going to let my Facebook friends do some of that advice giving for you. I jumped on, thought I'd throw the question out there, and here's a collection of some of my eclectic group of friends had suggested some good advice around parenting. Actually, and some of these is actually really good, so I have mostly picked ones that I think is helpful. Firstly, find parents with adult children who have turned out great. Now, you get to define what great is, by the way. Who have turned out great from your perspective and have a good relationship. That's an important one. They actually have kids that have a good relationship with them when they're adults, and ask them what they did. Can be really helpful just to get a bit of feel of someone who's gone before and has actually managed to succeed in that way, because it's tough. Here's another one, and this actually came up probably of all the things. This was said multiple times by different people. Listen deeply to your children. And sometimes you have to actually listen quite hard because you don't understand what they're actually telling you. But actually trust and start from that place of going, I'm actually going to listen. I might know exactly what they're doing or where they're going to go, but I'm going to take the time to pause and listen to their concerns, listen to what's hurting them, listen to what they're actually saying. Listen deeply to your children. Children are not robots, so be prepared to be flexible. When you're preparing to become parents, as Kelsey and I were a couple of years ago, you come up with all those plans of how your parenting's going to go and all of these systems that you're going to put in place and all of the great things, and then the kid comes along and doesn't follow them. And so you have to learn to be flexible and to work around different kids. I haven't got another child at this stage, but I know other parents who've got kids, and you sort of nail it with the first one, and then a second kid comes along, and they don't follow the same course as the first one. They're not robots. Be prepared for other parents to have very strong opinions. In fact, the person who shared this one suggested to me that I was incredibly brave having this topic in church, that I was incredibly brave to actually talk about parenting in a church context, because they found out very early on, if they shared anything about their perspective of parenting, someone would come and shoot them down. So just be prepared, be ready that other parents might look at your choices, or you might even look at their choices, and they will think very, very strongly about those things. So be ready for that. This is another one that came up fairly regularly, was consistency, consistency, consistency. And this is hard. Again, I've only had 2.5 years, but trying to, firstly, Kelsey and I try to be consistent. We try to make sure, and kids have that way. And Toby's in another season at the moment where he won't do something unless we've both said yes to it. And now that's not him necessarily seeking a different answer. We're like, Mum, can I do this? And Kelsey goes, yes. And then he goes, Dad, can I do the exact same thing? It's like, Mum just said yes. Like, just do it. Just go for it. But no. But actually practicing and being consistent across parents and being consistent yourself and even pressing through and continuing to be consistent when it's difficult. That was another thing that was given from multiple people. I think this one's a really good one. And this one, I didn't see anything about this when I was becoming or like looking to become a parent. I wish I'd read this, and this certainly is an important one for people to have. Have a method to calm yourself when needed. Kids will press your buttons. If you've been a parent for more than 5 seconds, you will know this. Kids will press your buttons. And it's actually really hard to make the right choice to be consistent, to sit and just listen to them when you're steaming inside. So find a method that works for you. And again, this is where I'm not going to give you advice about what that is, because what I do might be different. Maybe some of our other speakers will bring things across of that. But look to find a method to keep yourself calm and to bring yourself back to a place of calm so you can parent from that place. Be a parent, not a friend. And people might disagree with this one, which is interesting, but that's okay. But this was given by a few people. Be a parent, not a friend. They'll have plenty of friends, but they need you to be their parents. They get you as their parents. Now, obviously, not everyone has the perfect scenario and perfect family, and you might have split families or different places and different things. But you as a parent have an opportunity to be their parent and to choose to actually play that role. It is a choice, because not all parents choose to parent. It's unfortunate, but it's the world that we live in. So actually, that doesn't mean you can't be friendly. That doesn't mean you can't listen and have a relationship with them, which is like a friend. But there will come times when you actually need to be their parent. And that's not necessarily what they want to hear or want to be told or want to have happen. But again, that came up from a few people. And I think the next one, if you get nothing else from today's message, the next one is the one that you need to listen to. Make sure they are West Coast Eagles supporters and limit their exposure to Fremantle and Collingwood. I love that Collingwood got a mention. Now remember, this wasn't mine. I didn't say this one. This is just what my Facebook friends put up there. As you'll see, there will be a diverse range of experience and thoughts from people in terms of how you raise your children from football. And there's the light and there's the darkness. And well, you know, there is what there is. So let's just continue on. We've got our Raising Kids series. And I know it's a bit fun and I'm kind of a bit jovial about it. It's a really important topic. This is one that in our culture today, and this is why I would actually answer my friend who said, I can't believe that you're raising this. I would counter that with, we have to. We can't not. We actually have to be willing to engage in that difficult space of the fact that there are 1,000 opinions about 100 things and actually be able to grapple as a church with how we are going to raise the next generation. As a church, we sense that we're in a real season now where we're rebuilding. We're not where we were, but one thing that has always been a part of the DNA of this church right from the very start is that we recognize that this area is a high family area. And as we look to move forward into this early learning center and as we look to build the next generation, we sense that family and community relationships in that area is going to be a really important part of who we are as a church. So it actually is important that we as a church think about and wrestle with how do we raise kids? And what I'm hoping this series will be is not a how-to, it's not a step-by-step, because if you can write that book, write it, and you can come and preach it, because I don't think there is a book that actually is that. But I'm hoping that through hearing lots of different perspectives and different ideas, you, whether you've got kids, whether you've had kids, whether you hope to have kids in the future, will glean something that encourages you or helps you in terms of thinking about your role in raising your kids or helping to raise the kids that call our church home or helping to raise the kids that live on your street. Now, I can't bring a lot of experience to the parenting question per se, but here's the question that I want to wrestle with today and sort of talk through, because this is one that I have been doing for a bit longer than 2.5 years. And that's the crossover between parenting and discipleship. And when you actually boil parenting down into a lot of the base elements of what it means to parent, I actually think there's a lot of crossover between parenting and discipleship. And so it's important that we can look through what does the Bible tell us about discipleship, and actually we can actually see from that some ways that we can deepen our own parenting. One of the first places we go to, and then we're going to sit in a passage from there, is if you go right back to the people of Israel when they were first given the law. Now, the law was not given to them to just teach them how to know God. The law, both the Ten Commandments and then the broader laws, were actually given to the people of Israel to teach them how to live. How do you go about actually being a member, a person of the Israelite nation? And the principles that undergird those laws in so many ways became the underpinning things to our culture, the Judeo-Christian environment and the way that we do things. And so we can learn a lot about how we live by actually looking at what was taught there. You know, do not steal, do not commit murder, do not lust, do not commit adultery and things like that. They're actually really important things. And when the law was given to the Israelites, this is what was said to them. What should you do with your children? How should you actually make sure that your children know these things? And in Deuteronomy 6:7 it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your houses, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. That actually an important part of parenting, and this is, we are speaking from a Christian perspective, an important part of parenting is weaving into every season of your household life learnings and ways of what it means to know God and His teachings in your life. You can't control what happens outside of your four walls, but you'll have at least some say. You may not have complete say, but you'll at least have some say in how this plays out in your own context. So I want us to dig into Romans chapter 12, and this is specifically looking at some discipleship, but I want to unpack from it some principles that I think apply to how we can actually raise our kids. Romans 12, verse 9 to 10. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. One of the connections from these two verses is your family needs to know that you're devoted to them. You'll have lots of pressures in your life. You'll have work pressures. You'll have broader family pressures. You'll have your own personal life and social life and wanting to be involved in places like that. Then you want to have your own time and your own space and those sort of things. It's absolutely essential that your family, your kids, your spouse, those who are in that area, they actually know that you're devoted to them, that they're important to you, that they have a level of priority. It's got to be appropriate priority. But one of the ways I think we get out of sync in our culture is actually family often is the one that's kicked down the side because we see them all the time and it's kind of like, oh yeah, we'll just move them over there and shuffle them there. And what can happen over time is actually they don't get that sense that you're devoted to them. Another one, and this is a difficult one, and I'm an only child, so I never had to wrestle with this with siblings because, you know, that would be so much harder. But try and cultivate an attitude of loving the other in your household. Try and cultivate an attitude of loving the other. Yeah, that's right. Try and get brothers and sisters to actually think of the other person beyond themselves. And again, this is what we are striving for and may every now and then succeed in. But it actually does make a difference. And I know when you talk with people who have got that kind of sense in their household, that sure, there might be some bickering and some disagreement, but there's actually a deep love and respect for the other. It goes a long way to creating an attitude and an environment that will be harmonious and that will enable you to parent better. It continues on in verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. This is a tough one, and this is difficult. And again, we live in a world where there's a lot less of things being the way that we'd love them to be. In fact, oftentimes it's not that. But your attitude towards how your family serves God together will go a long way in shaping everyone's faith. How you as a family choose to prioritize being a part of a family of God, or being a part of a church community, or being a part of something of that nature. And even outside of, I'm not just meaning Sundays, by the way, but even how you find ways to serve in your local neighborhood. How you find ways to serve from your faith perspective in your local sporting clubs. And actually making sure that there's that kind of connection that if you want to pass that faith on to the next generation, they have to see that this is something which is a priority in the good times and the bad. And this will not happen by accident. It may not even happen if you do it on purpose. Like, this is not like a silver bullet. If you just go and serve, they're going to know Jesus. But it certainly increases the chances. And how your family unit prioritizes those places. Now, you have to work within your circumstances. Again, we have different people. We have people who come from households where not everybody follows Jesus. We come from households that have got split families and different things of that nature. And you can't control what happens in the other household. But as much as it actually depends on you, keep your spiritual fervor and bring your family and your kids into that space. Romans 12:12. I love this verse. This one really resonated as I was going through. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. This is almost the summary of how do you parent well? Do this. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Well, where's the joyful in hope? Well, there's lots of ways that you might find hope. But actually, if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, you've said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. The hope that you've always got, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what your circumstances might be, no matter how close to the ideal family life you've got to what you'd like it to be, you can be joyful in the victory that Jesus won for us on the cross. That if and when and as things go on and as things change, as things potentially don't go the way you'd like them to do, you can always come back to that joy of knowing God's got the victory. Actually, ultimately, He wins out. And I can be joyful in the hope of what that means. But then there's the reality of what you might experience in life, that actually affliction will come, that, surprise, surprise, and anyone, again, who's been parenting more than 5 minutes, you won't always get it right. You will make mistakes. Things will happen in your life. Trouble and tribulation will come your way. You might lose things that you don't want to lose. You might have circumstances that come your way, which are just not what you asked for. And these circumstances, they might last years. You may not be able to see beyond them. You may not be able to see. And that's where we're encouraged to be patient. Again, that's really hard to say. If you've got some pain that's going on, it's really hard to be patient. But it's tied to that sense of the hope that we have because of the victory of Jesus. That because of His victory, we can be patient. We can trust and believe that the Lord is good. And as long as we can keep going, keep pressing forward, keep taking that next step. At the moment, I'm living in the world of just do the next thing I can do. There are so many things that are further down the track that I don't have the answers to in lots of different ways and areas. And so I'm just doing the next thing that I can do. And I think that's one of the ways that we can be patient in affliction. You may not be able to solve your affliction. You may not be able to, completely solve the circumstances you find yourself in. So just do the next thing that you can do. And because of the hope that you have, just keep pressing forward in patience in that affliction. And then the last one is be faithful in prayer. It doesn't cost you anything except time to pray. And you are in complete control, give or take a little bit, of whether or not you pray. Now, when you pray might be different, because if you've got a toddler coming here, dad, 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 that's really hard to pray. It's really hard to pray. One of the biggest challenges I've had in becoming a parent is mornings were always my time. That was when I did my devotions. That was when I did all of those sort of things. And I'm not good at rising earlier. I'm not actually good at getting up at the crack of dawn, like 5 o'clock or 5:30. That would be really tough. That's what I thought about trying, and that's just not going to happen. And so since Toby's come along, it's actually been really difficult. Because mornings, it's go, go, go. It's got to get Toby up. It's got to get Toby breakfast. It's got to get him dressed. It's got to get him out the door. It's got to get him to daycare. Kelsey and I are both getting ready for work. Kelsey at school, myself with church, or different things of that nature. And I'm having to really wrestle with when I do devotions. But I can always find time to pray. I can always find a snippet in my day. And it doesn't cost me a cent. When I'm driving, maybe when I first go to bed, or maybe when I wake up before the alarm goes off and before Toby comes into the room, because I don't have to get out of bed to pray. Be faithful in prayer. So Romans 12:12, really good parenting verse. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. If you've got kids that are far from God, if you've got kids that you wish knew Jesus, but they don't, this is the verse. You know, they might still be kids. They might still be in that childhood, or they might be your kids, but they haven't been kids for a long time. They might be your baby, but they haven't been a baby for many, many years. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and the affliction is that pain that you feel for them. Be patient in affliction, and faithfully, and I'm probably not telling you anything you're not already doing, be faithful in prayer. Verse 13 to 16 from Romans says this: share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. This is really taking that idea of being others focused and actually pressing it a little bit deeper. And one of the things I am convinced of is we live in a culture that's increasingly individual, and it's increasingly focused on the person and the individual and how you feel and how you think. It champions individualism. And the message of Jesus and the culture of the time of Jesus' people was not individualistic. It was so communal. And the teaching of the kingdom of God is of a kingdom that's so closely entwined, and the relationships that we experience are so connected with one another, that as a family unit, determined to live in community. And it is actually, you have to choose because it's hard. It's hard. It's so much easier just to bunker down at your place and sort of cut everybody else off, because they don't do things the way that you do them, and they don't expect things and don't accept things the way that you sort of do them. But consistently throughout the Bible, we see the picture of community and we see the picture of family as being a radical one-anotherness. It's a radical connection to a group of people that are journeying together. So I would go as far as saying that you should be connected to a church and make sure that that's something that's really, really important to you. But even beyond that, if that's a step too far, it's just make sure that you're not doing this journey alone as a family. Find another family, even if it's one other family that you can connect with. And parent together in community. That's with friend and with foe. Find ways to connect and to serve those who you may not agree with or may not like. But actually, that teaches some essential things to your kids that they need to know and see. That they won't always have things go the way they like. They will actually interact with people in different ways that may not reciprocate to them. But they'll see it from your parenting, because they got to experience it in that context. Continuing on, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, and I very, very deliberately highlighted that, because you can only control what you can control. Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, this is all very much as much as it depends on you. You can't control how other people interact with you. But you can decide as a family unit how you're going to live in your neighborhood. You know that pesky neighbor that you just don't get along with? You can't make them change. But you can choose how you're going to be on your street. How's your family going to interact? We don't actually have neighbors yet. It's great. The other house next door is going to be moving in sometime in the near future. But I'm sure, you know, that will come in time. Just look at Facebook for a little while and you'll see that there's not all is well in South Yundrup and Ravenswood at times, and the loud doof doof plays and all of a sudden it's racing up on Facebook. Don't engage. Be positive in your interactions in that space. Think about how you play it out, as much as it depends on you. Don't take revenge. But equally, it does say, allow room for God's wrath. But trust that God will actually do what is needed in those contexts. Don't take it on yourself to have to right the wrongs that might happen to you. And that's really hard. But it's helpful because, again, your kids will see from that. They will say, wow, my parents were wronged. And they stood up for themselves. They didn't get railroaded. They didn't get some push, but they didn't strike out. They didn't go and egg the person's house. Probably don't egg houses with your kids. Like, that's probably not just, you know, that probably isn't a good idea. But they'll see in the way that you choose to respond when those things happen. And that will impact them. This is a verse in 1 Corinthians 11:1 that, again, it's about discipleship, but I also think it's about parenting. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. When you're parenting your kids, this is what you're asking them to do. You're saying to them, hey, Toby, I'm doing my best to learn what it means to follow Jesus. I'd love you to come along with me and do the same. I'd love you to watch me and, you know, when he's a bit older, call me out when you see me doing things that you know don't fit. Well, that actually, because I want you to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So some final words, some final thoughts that I'll share with you, because this is my one and only time to speak on this topic. Yeah, you don't hear me for 5 weeks, so you can do a little quiet celebration later, but that's okay. Firstly, parent in community. And this has to be a choice because it is not easy. It actually is difficult to make the choice to find other families that you agree with on parenting, or maybe at least you agree enough with. There's enough crossover that you can handle it. Go away together. Find ways to actually do that together. Have them in your home. Be around the place. Parent in community. Be a part of a faith community. And as much as you have say, help them to be connected and to find meaning in that place. Say sorry to yourself and to your kids. Be the first to say sorry. You will make mistakes. You will do things that you don't want to do and that when you reflect on. Help them to learn what it means to say sorry, because they get so used to you actually saying sorry to them. You don't have to always appear to be the one who's got the authority and has it all together. They actually need to see that you can be humble and that you can admit, yeah, I stuffed up. Sorry. Then give yourself grace. Because again, you won't always get it right. And then you'll start beating yourself up and you'll start saying, I'm not a good enough parent, and maybe I shouldn't have been a parent, and this shouldn't have gone on. And God's just looking at you with his father's heart and saying, it's okay. I've got you. Be joyful in hope. So give yourself grace. Recognize when you need some space and take it. But don't beat yourself up, because that doesn't actually do anything. Find the ways to be able to have that grace for yourself that you have for others. And then finally, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We're in this together as a church. The next generation is so important. For too many generations now, the church has not done a great job of passing it on. And so we are seeing the church actually, you know, slip away in some ways. That doesn't actually have to be the way things go. It's not preordained that actually things just keep slipping. We can't control churches beyond our walls. We can't control what other churches do. But we can be really focused on how we as a church raise the next generation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for kids. The good times and the bad. When they follow Ephesians 6:1 and when they don't. We pray for this church. We pray and we enter in a season where we sense your call to really press into this area. Help us to be a church that does well at supporting, at championing, at raising kids. I want to pray for each of the parents that are here today, whether they're parents of kids that are still in their home or their parents that are gone or the kids that are gone. I want to pray, Lord, that you would be with them in their parenting journey. Help them as they reflect on the season they're in and how they support their kids in this time. I pray for those who are here today who may aspire to be parents, who look forward to that maybe one day. I pray that you'd be helping them to put in place the platforms and just the things that they can do in and through this time. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them with that too. There are some real challenges at times in becoming parents. And so I pray that you would journey alongside them in those times of affliction and that you would draw close to them and that you'd wrap them in your arms. And Lord, for those who potentially in different ways, in different times, either haven't had kids, don't want to have kids, it's just not something that's in their agenda or weren't able to have kids for different reasons. I pray that you'd help them to find a way to be involved through discipleship, through life in the church, through what we do here, at raising the next generation. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.